Welcome, people. What's up? What's up? How y'all feeling? My name is Tim Black. Welcome back to another edition, the 32nd edition of Tim Black's Black Table. Well, that's been going on, right? We got a few things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about New York City. And they say New York City. New York City Mayor Eric Adams has a situation. We got to talk about it. Kentucky. This guy lost the governor's race in Kentucky. Daniel Cameron. We got to talk about that. And I had some stuff on my phone. What did I have on my phone, Tim? We had some stuff on the phone, Tim Black. We talked about Dr. Jill Stein already. We might come back to that. Okay. Let's keep this up, Tim. But my lead story tonight, is the GOP debate. Now, before you turn, the GOP debate, I'm not talking about all of it. There's one particular portion of the GOP debate that I gotta talk about because it says so much about what's going on with our politics. Right? So, let's set the stage. This was a couple days ago, the third GOP debate. Only like five made it. Tim Scott, Nikki Haley, DeSantis, Chris Christie, Vivek, some other guy. We'll see it. It's only the crowded field has dwindled down to just the people that could actually get on the ballot, actually get some type of polling. That's what it was. So here we go, guys. Check out this clip. This is interesting. The GOP debate number 3, and this was an opening conversation that got the ball rolling.
Hear the candidates, because these are important issues and the voters want and need to hear them. Mr. Ramaswamy, let me turn to you. Please make your case. Why should you be the nominee and not the former president?
I think there's something deeper going on in the Republican Party here, and I am upset about what happened last night. We've become a party of losers at the end of the day. It is a cancer in the Republican establishment. Let's speak the truth. I mean, since Ronna McDaniel took over as chairwoman of the RNC in 2017, we have lost 2018, 2020, 2022, no red wave that never came. We got trounced last night in 2023. And I think that we have to have accountability in our party. For that matter, Ron, if you want to come on stage tonight, you want to look the GOP voters in the eye and tell them you resign, I will turn over my, yield my time to you. And frankly, look, the people there are cheering for losing in the Republican Party. Think about who's moderating this debate. This should be Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, and Elon Musk. We'd have 10 times the viewership asking questions that GOP primary voters actually care about and bringing more people into our party. Do you think the Democrats, and we've got Christian Welker here, do you think the Democrats would actually hire Greg Gutfeld to host a Democratic debate? They wouldn't do it. And so the fact of the matter is, I mean, Kristen, I'm going to use this time because this is actually about you in the media and the corrupt media establishment. Ask you the Trump-Russia collusion hoax that you pushed on this network for years. Was that real or was that Hillary Clinton made up disinformation? Answer the question. Go.
Mr. Robert,
this is how we get our country back. We need accountability because this media rigged the 2016 election. They rigged the 2020 election with the Hunter Biden laptop story.
Mr. Ramaswamy,
and they're going to rig this election.
Your time is up.
Accountability.
Let me turn to Governor Christie. Why you?
My bad. That was funny. That was funny. That was good. What'd you think? It's spirited. Spirited conversation going on. Yo, check this out, guys. Vivek, I can't stand him, but I'm glad he said everything he said there. Yeah, I'm glad he spoke this way. Yeah. Now, you said, Tim Black, why can't you stand him? I can't stand him because he's had such horrible rhetoric about black people. He's just like, nothing he says out of his mouth is going to make any sense. He's a walking contradiction. He's a hypocritical jackass is what he is. And he talks really fast like he's really saying something, but he's not saying anything. I can talk fast too, but you know, it's important to be understood. It's important not try to fool people. But he was right about a couple of things here. Doesn't mean he can't be right about something. Some people need to get this through their heads. Like, it's okay, guys, for somebody to be right about something. It doesn't mean you support their politics. It doesn't mean you like them. It doesn't mean you want to hang out with them. It doesn't mean you're a traitor. You're selling your soul. It just means you have the maturity to listen and then form an opinion based on facts or your core beliefs, right? That's all that means. He's right when he said the GOP is a loser. They are losers. You just ran down a list of things they lost. They lost in Ohio, they lost in Kentucky, and they lost in Virginia. It's a lot of losses. I remember when I was saying the Democratic Party was a big loser, and they were, and they are, but I was hoping that they would do things like work on the behalf of us. They have no intention of doing that. Okay? But when I remember when they were losing all the seats in the House and they were getting all busted up, same thing. Like, you should be able to call it straight. So Vivek's right about that. They are losers. I do find it crazy that a guy could say his party when he never voted until 2020 or something. Like, you're 40 and you only voted once, and that was like a couple years ago before you decided to run. Somebody told this guy he'd be a good politician. That's what that sounds like. Doesn't sound like a guy who's really interested. It wasn't like he was an activist. He didn't have a podcast or a radio show, or he wasn't in the streets protesting or forming like a 501c, some type of nonprofit that worked towards some of the issues that he says he stands for. Now, this guy is purely self-serving. Purely all about himself. So everything that comes out of his mouth, I always run it through that machinery, right? I run it through that process of remembering that about the guy. So the thing that's so corrupt about our media, right, is that people listen to Vivek, and just because he gets a lot of viewership on their networks, or just because there are a lot of GOP or conservatives or whatever who like the guy, they won't say the things I just said because there are a lot of people that want to hear him. But once again, he's right. He's right about Ohio. And let's just be real, guys. Like, one of the reasons why the GOP got their teeth kicked in is because abortion rights. Yeah, man, the abortion issue, they just took it too far. They took it so far that people that would normally vote for them are like, nah, I can't vote for these guys. Yeah, you were with me, or they were with them all the way up until it's like, what you mean, you know? We got people saying, not even in cases, in situations of rape and incest. What? So these are guys, old white guys, telling all women what they could do. So they got shellacked, they got beat up, they got busted up, they got whipped. They got whipped last night, well, last week. Now, because it's Sunday. In Ohio, voters amended their state constitution to establish a right to abortion up to the point of fetal viability. So if the baby can live on its own, you can't, you know, that's the cutoff. Okay? As long as it's only, you know, if it's life-sustaining, you know, it is what it is. This is the way Ohio voted. Instead of the Republicans overplayed their hand. Like, they were on a roll, they got happy feet, and they took it too far, and then they had to pay for it. Not just in Ohio, but they paid for it in Virginia. In Virginia, the Democratic Party's success in legislative races was attributed to the rejection of Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin's push for a 15-week abortion ban. There it is. So, this is why they got beat up. So we got Democrats running around talking as if they got a bad, super bad, like, you know, like their party is all that. Look how great we did. No, it's because, the GOP overplayed their hand. It wasn't, look, most Americans hate both parties. This is keep it real. The biggest party in America is no party. So anybody you see walking around pushing the party is in their own head. They're in a bubble in that belief. They just don't realize it. They're in a bubble. I didn't say a person that votes. I'm saying anybody who's like in a party and it's like, yeah, my party. You know, these party goers, these party fanatics, these people are out of their tree. Most Americans have already woken up to the fact that both of these parties are garbage. And when they do vote, because remember, 40-45% of America doesn't vote. We talk about it, the people that do vote. Okay? That's a horrible track record. Hey, man, only 17% of America thinks Congress does anything worthwhile. 17%. Imagine getting a 17, like some of us didn't do so great in school, but I bet you could get more than a 17 out of 100 without even cracking a book. That's how bad Congress is doing. And those are the people writing the laws. 17%. So anybody, I don't care who they are, who they work for, who they pretend to be, anybody telling you how great the Democrats are or how great the Republicans are, those people are wacky. Don't listen to them. Those are flat earthers, yo. Real talk. Those people are, those people's brains need to be examined. We need to hurry up. When they finally leave this realm, we need to crack their heads open to find out what was in there. We need to check them for all types of mental deficiencies. We need to know what's going on. Because it's not regular. So anybody, anyone. So we are the majority is what I'm telling you. You and I, because if you watch the Tim Black Show, you are very skeptical of these parties. You are very skeptical of the system. You are a rebellious person. You realize, and you're rebellious because you woke up and you realize, this is garbage they're feeding me. All right? That's my audience. And if you're not that way, you must be looking to become that way, because we make no bones. We don't lie here. No, 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 no. We keep it real. So, if the Democrats or the Republicans want to boast or, the Democrats want to pretend that this was a good night for them or a good week for them, Tuesday was a good day for them on the strength of them doing something, no. People vote now to avoid as much pain as they can. People now vote because they got a knife around their necks, like digging into their flesh. That's how people vote. They're not voting. I want to say 90% of the time, when people vote, it's to get away from something that's dangerous to them. That's all they got is fear left. That's all the Republicans got is fear. Fear of wokeness, fear of, they got to make up the woke, the woke people are coming for us and they're taking our ability to say gay or what, like, you know what I'm saying? Like they like make up these things to try to rile people up because the only thing they got is fear. And the Democrats do the same thing. They say, oh, you got to, for us, it's always you, the blacks, you got to be, oh, the Klan's coming for you. Every Republican, according to the Democrats, every Republican is a Klan member, a neo-Nazi. Every one of them. Even though they're all friends. You ever see footage of them shaking hands on the White House floor? I've seen them. Elbowing each other, high-fiving. They know each other. They're buddies. They know each other's families. The Clintons and the Trumps was like this for years. I still envision when Trump ran, it was sort of like that scenario, the scene out of Trading Places with the two old bastards. They took Eddie through all this stuff because of a $1 bet that they could change a Negro's life. What he would do if he was given an opportunity or something. It was crazy. Bartholomew. I forget the names. It's like Bartholomew and something. Oh, $1. That's all this is. Trump bet Bill that he could win. And then when Obama roasted Trump's ass, he was like, I'm gonna get the Democrats. Oh, we gotta get them. So it was a dare. It was a dare. These people are very well off. These people are wealthy. They're good to go. They're straight. What's sad is when there's like regular working people, man, who just can't get it through their skulls. They feel like they gotta believe in something. No. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes there's nothing to believe in except your damn self. So Vivek is a fake, phony, whatever. But he's right. He was right about Welker, Kristen Welker, about her lying about the Russian collusion thing for four, whatever amount of time until she got Chuck Todd's old job. Going on there, doing the bidding of Hillary Clinton, like fabricating all of them did it, all of them. With all the hocus pocus about the Republic, the Russians are coming to take our elections, all to defend the virtue of Hillary because she lost to Trump. And where did that accusation go? Did they thwart this huge apparatus of Russians infiltrating the elections? What even happened to that story? Man, you're talking about one of the most consequential threats to democracy in the history of the United States. And all of a sudden, no one talked about it anymore. Because Biden won. It is what it is. But it's really sad when we got these people, man. They got to have something to believe in. They feel like they got to believe in the Democrats. What else we going to do, Tim? If we don't have the Democrats, what we have? What do you have when you have them? You think you have the Democrats? That's what you think? You think you have a party? You have a corporation with its own interest. And you're the host. They're a parasite. Republicans and Democrats are parasites on the American people. And they thrive off your fear. People don't even imagine a world where we wouldn't be voting for one of those parties. They can't even imagine. They have no creativity that we could have somebody like Dr. Cornel West running as an independent, or RFK Jr. running as an independent, or Claudia De La Cruz running as an independent, or Dr. Jill Stein running as an independent. They can't even imagine it. It's like I'm talking in some crazy dialect that died out years and years ago. When Dr. Jill Stein announced that she was running for the nomination, the Green Party nomination, it took me back because I'd interviewed Dr. Jill Stein like 5-6 times, man. And not just virtually. Like, I went to a field office in Philly back in 2016. I opened a rally for her. Interviewed her a couple times when she came to D.C. And then her and Ajamu both. It's like Ajamu Baraka, who was her VP. And I thought about this one speech I gave in Philadelphia. And I'm trying to remember how it went, but it was something like, Hillary Clinton's much more dangerous than Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton has power. Her corruption has power. Trump, they say Trump's so dangerous, but Trump can't tell the newspapers what to print. There were news entities in notable papers like the Washington Post, the New York Times, who correspondents, when they reported on Hillary, would send over to Hillary Clinton in their campaign a draft of the article to get their approval before they printed it. This was in WikiLeaks. Let me be clear. Let me say that one more time, y'all. See, this is why somebody who's been doing this for a while, who really did, like interested in following and learning shit and actually a student of politics, a student of what's going on, how it applies to our world, most people don't even know it. Like, WikiLeaks, I saw documents where there were email correspondence between notable writers for major publications like the New York Times and Washington Post who would say, hey, it was great talking to you, Hillary, or Hillary people, whatever. Here's the article from my interview before we published it. Just kind of wanted you to look it over and see if we need to make any corrections. Now, you can say what you want to say about Trump, but before they wrote about Trump, do you think they asked Trump, hey, you think this is okay if we print this? Is it, want you guys to look it over before we print it, because you don't have a party, if you don't have a media unless it's independent media. The media people were afraid to talk about Hillary. They were afraid to cross the Democratic Party because they're more worried about their careers and their money and their future employment status and going to the big parties or getting their kids to this certain school or whatever, man. I would tell people, I remember telling people back in 2017, half of the anger that the Democrats have is not even really about the people. They could care less because the institutions kind of all still work the same regardless to who's in office. So those she lost, most of the apparatus around it didn't matter who sat in the office, because neither Trump or Hillary were going to radically change anything. Right, they're figurehead. They're not rebels. They're not radicals. They're not going to change anything dramatically. What you think they're going to give you health care? What you think they're going to do? What? Won't even legalize marijuana? What? All they do is take us to war and give us lip service and give us little incremental stuff. Trump gave the rich all these tax breaks, riding off a great economy given to him by Obama. That's what really happened. And people are just glad he didn't take us into new wars. That's about it. Those days are over because now we got Biden, and it's like he got us in like two more wars. He's only been in there 2 years, 3 years now. Come on, dog. So the Clintons with a Clinton administration, so it doesn't matter who wins when it comes to if they're just going to do the same shit. But the real thing that they were upset about, back to that, yeah, the real thing that they were upset about was that about, like, the real, you know, it was about all the rich people that planned to move to D.C. when Hillary won. All the houses they picked out in Georgetown and DuPont Circle and Farragut West and North and Upper McPherson Square. Like, if you're from D.C., you know what I'm talking about. Over there in Potomac. All the nice 18th century, the freaking vaulted ceilings, right? The expensive $3 million houses. Over here in the enclaves, the well-to-do enclaves of the Washington, D.C. area. They had all picked out where they were going to live. They never imagined Trump could win. So those, that's really what the anger was about. Was you thought they were upset they weren't able to give you something, do something for you as a Democrat in office? Get out of it. Come on, man. Are we going to grow up or are we going to grow up? I'm too old to I'm too old to lie to you. I don't have time to keep in my head any lies. I gotta just be honest. And it's better to be filterless because that's much, I don't have time to like clean it up for you, make you feel better about yourself, or none of that. It is what it is. They were more upset that they didn't get to, they had already planned on transferring their kids and moving to DC for 2 terms, working for Hillary. And Trump ruined all that. That's really what the anger was. It's not about the policies. Once again, the FBI, the State Department, all the other systems pretty much run the same no matter who's in them. No matter who's there, do you really believe that, I don't know, take a position like Attorney General? There was that much radical difference. It's little bits, like, you know, just consent decrees, and a little bit around the edges, but it's not really that big a difference what they're doing for us, depending on the administration. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. We need game changers in office. People willing to die. Those are the people you need. People don't get why I support Dr. Cornel West. I believe that Dr. Cornel West is willing to die for what he believes in. And if you ain't willing to do that, you ain't got a shot. Somebody tell RFK Jr., is he willing to die for this? Now, I know his dad was and his uncle was, but is he? See, that's the thing, because that's the only way any of this will change, y'all. That's it. That's it. It ain't gonna, oh, well, this person meant well. And I know we got other news, but I gotta tell you. Even when you have somebody who may mean well, like Representative Cori Bush. I interviewed Representative Cori Bush before she was Representative Cori Bush. Haven't talked to her since then. But I believe she believes in what she wants to do for the people of Missouri. I believe that when I talked to her, I felt the realness of her. She feels authentic, okay? But when you get put into a system and there is no movement around you to cover you from the disgusting, toxic sellout, the pressures of the status quo and the old guard and how shit's done, how long can they last? I know you like to say you would last forever up against everybody by yourself, but you and just one or two other people. But dog, without a full-fledged movement, we're telling people to run into the danger zone by themselves. With no backup, how long can they hang on? I'm telling you, the system is toxic. We really do need a new system put in place. And it's going to take radical change. It's going to take radical people who are willing to make the change happen. Because this little stuff around the edges is not going to make a big change. Speaking of not going to make a big change, I got another clip for you. And this I only play for you because I want to see how angry you get. I want to see if I can piss you off today. Nah, that's not why. Maybe I want to see how angry I can get. Yeah, here goes the clip of somebody who's in a race who shouldn't be, frankly.
Here are the candidates because these are important issues.
Right, and it Governor, needs to be said plainly.
Governor, thank you. Let me turn to Senator Scott. Senator Scott, you've said former President Trump can't win. Make your case to Republican voters.
Well, certainly. What I would say without any question is that the truth of my life destroys the lies of the radical left. We need a president and a candidate who will actually help our base solidify and attract independent voters into our party. The Great Opportunity Party is now winning back African-American voters and Hispanic voters because we are working on a foundation based on faith.
Street, right, and it needs to be said plainly.
Governor, thank you. Let me turn to Senator Scott. Senator Scott, you've said former President Trump can't win. Make your case to Republican voters.
Well, certainly. None of what I would say without any question is that the truth of my life destroys the lies of the radical left. We need a president and a candidate who will actually help our base solidify and attract independent voters into our party. The Great Opportunity Party is now winning back African-American voters and Hispanic voters because we are working on a foundation based on faith.
That's your guy. Come on, one of y'all better claim this guy. That is your guy. That's not my guy. Whose guy is this? Whose man's is this? Oh, man. He said the truth of his life destroys the lies of the radical left. There is a special place in hell for people like Tim Scott. Yeah, man, it's a special, extra heated seat for people like Tim Scott. A guy that would actually tell all the black people, look at me. Look how well I've done. Tim Scott really believes, well, he sells this. I don't think he believes this at all. He doesn't believe this at all. If there's anybody black in America who has had any type of major success, who doesn't realize how rare it is to have that major success, and then totally erases all the obstacles that you've overcome, because if you are a black American, not from somewhere else who came here and, you know, no. If you grew up, if you were born in America in a black, predominantly black neighborhood around a predominantly black folks in a black household, went to black schools, predominantly black schools, America's still very segregated. Okay, that's one thing about America. That has not changed. Hell, we may be even more segregated than we have been since the 70s. But here's the thing, man. If you've lived through that, if you've lived to be the same, like I'm about the same age as Tim Scott, I've seen black people succumb to all manner of types of obstacles that are put in our way. If you can, I can't imagine to tell people, just because I'm doing a YouTube channel show and have a small digital media company, that I am somehow proof that your situation ain't real. First of all, that would take a certain amount of lying that I'm not incapable of doing. I'm incapable of telling that type of lie. I could just tell you all the obstacles I've gone through to sit here today, and I know, I'm positive, that a portion of those obstacles are all because I'm a black man talking to you. The color of my skin participated in that situation. You don't think Tim Scott knows that, being in the Republican Party, living in South Carolina? Hell, I'm from D.C. and Maryland. He's further south than me, and he's talking as if, well, my life is a testament to none of this stuff they talk about. It's true about race. He's the only black Republican senator since Reconstruction. And he tells the whole world, see what I did? One black guy. One guy. No black women. And one sellout. Horrible sellout, denying of reality ass. It's just, man, It's amazing. And what's also really painful, well, it's not painful. I'm used to it, so it's not painful. I would say what's extremely frustrating and tiresome, right, is that there's so many people who love to hear that BS story. There'll be people that know how they look at black people. That know, even if it's not them, they have friends. They've grown up in families. They've heard their uncles talk about blacks. Their uncle that owned the printing shop. Things their mom said. Things they've said. They know. They've seen things on teams they played for, on schools they attended, places they've worked. They know reality. They know it. See, I see, racism is a horrible thing, right? But worse than racism is the denial of racism. Like, the friends of mine that are white are honest. They know what it is, and we don't lie to ourselves about what it is. We don't spend every moment when we talking about racism and systemic racism, but they don't deny reality. Like, they know that America's not as unequal as hell. And the thing about Tim Scott is that there are so many people that support him lying to them. Telling his lie to the whole world in order to help a party that could give a damn about them. It's not even like the Republican Party really cares about their poor white asses. Republican Party doesn't care. Republican Party is corporate. Corporate cares about corporate. That's why it's corporate. And that's the same story for the Democrats and the Republicans. The Democrats, at least the Democrats will say the word poor occasionally. The only time Republicans bring up poor white people is when they're talking about immigration. That's the only time they talk about it. Other than that, you won't hear them talk about poor white people. If they can't use poor white people to further a political cause, they won't talk about it. They won't talk about poor white poverty. It wasn't even brought up in that debate, I'm sure. I'm positive in that GOP debate, not one word was said about poverty. And there are way more poverty, more white people living in poverty than black people. There are 5 times more white people in America. So it's five, you know, so it's a lot more, even though we're disproportionate as far as representative. But for number per number, this is a lot more white folks living in poverty. And they never talk about it. They could care less, man. If you can't get to the campaign, who cares? So, poor white people are ignored by the Republican Party, and black people are ignored by the Democratic Party. Now, poor people are ignored in the Democratic Party, too. They are. You know this. Because they're both corporate. But the same way black people should feel about the Democratic Party giving them lip service and not doing crap for them, Republicans should feel the same way, but they're so blinded by the flag and every one of these sorry, deceptive, scheming snakes who've called themselves independent media has a flag in their background somewhere. They got a flag on their set selling a lie, which distracts the poor whites from reality that they don't have a party either. Yeah, but Tim Scott's a rare kind. So something happened. Do I have a clip for this? Something happened. Bill Burr, Brevac. I don't have a clip for this. I'll just tell you. Daniel Cameron was the guy running for Kentucky governor out there in Kentucky, obviously. And Daniel Cameron got his ass handed to him, which is good. I'm glad that happened. I was not, like, there was no way. I'm glad Cameron lost, all right? Some say it was because of the Breonna Taylor thing. I covered this story. And I was very careful. I tried to tell people, hey, it's not that I think that Cameron's a good guy. He's not. He's a horrible, horrible Mitch McConnell student of Mitch McConnell. Anybody that's under Mitch McConnell, old turkey neck, come on, man. Like, what'd you expect? But okay, a lot of people didn't know who he really was. But when they found out he was the attorney general who decided not to investigate and who did a horrible job investigating the officers that killed Breonna Taylor, they made their minds up then. My only thing with Daniel Cameron was I did not like the way the Democratic Party has selective memories. How it's okay if Kamala Harris throws black firemen under the bus as attorney general. That's what she did. Threw them under the bus. Well, she threw black inmates under the bus, had them work as firemen, even withheld some of their probations to keep a damn near free volunteer, sort of volunteer, fire corps that were used as inmates. Inmates were used as firemen. And instead of get people making probation, she kept the prisons full so they'd have a surplus of workers that they could pull and put in these positions. That was Kamala Harris. And we got people that overlooked that about Kamala Harris. I know it because this is my job. And they knew it too. So the people that were going on other people's shows, talking about Daniel Cameron doing a horrible job on the Breonna Taylor case, how horrible he was for black people, those same people were quiet when Kamala Harris was throwing black San Francisco inmates or black LA inmates, when she was throwing them under the bus. They didn't care. So it's not like they have a problem with horrible attorney generals doing horrible shit to black people. That's got a problem when it's a Republican. Because if it's a Democrat doing horrible things to black people, they're fine with it. These people have no ethics. They have no core. They're selective in their outrage because they really don't care to fight for us on anything. And these are black commentators. These are not white commentators I'm talking about. I'm talking about the black commentators that brought on the Black Votes Matter people who were going after Cameron for being a horrible garbage attorney general to the black community. And they were right. But those same people that brought him on ignored Kamala when she was attorney general, and she did worse. She did worse shit than Daniel Cameron. And they looked the other way. They looked the other way because it was expedient to look the other way. And black people will not hold them accountable. They will not hold them accountable for throwing us under the bus to help Kamala. She should not be VP. She's horrible. Doesn't mean I like Cameron. We started off this conversation saying, the truth is the truth is the truth. We report the truth. It doesn't mean you're a supporter or a friend of someone just because you tell the truth. I'm glad Cameron lost. Good riddance. Puh. But I feel the same way about Kamala Harris. And she's given us ample reason after reason after reason to feel that way. But they won't say it. They won't admit it. And then they'll look down their noses. They're truth tellers. It's good to see that black voters, once they were aware of the treachery of Cameron, they look past his color. Now, if I can only get them to do that with Democrats, if I could only get black voters to look past the color when it's a Democrat. It's a black Democrat, so what? What have you done for me lately? Why come I can't get them to do it when it's a black Democrat? That's my struggle. Well, black voters turned out. Yeah, obviously, a lot more black voters supported Andy Beshear. He's polled as one of the most popular governors in the country. He maintained a strong focus on state and local issues. His message that voters should not look to Democrats and Republicans, but to those who reject divisive politics, resonated with the electorate. Black American vote was a significant factor in the Kentucky governor's race. And that's what helped Cameron lose, or it contributed to the loss. And I'm glad he lost. Mayor Eric Adams. New York City Mayor Eric Adams is going through it right now. Once again, I'm not a... Dog, I'm wondering how he won. Like, first of all, I would never hire an ex-cop to do anything. That's me. I mean, that politically. You know, not politically. Maybe he could work security. You know? But not a mayor. So, and he's had such, this guy's basically a Django from, he's like Steven from Django in a lot of his, and he brags too. Eric Adams brags about how much of a kiss ass he is to the establishment. So the fact that he's under investigation, I don't feel bad for it at all. But it does look politically motivated because same thing has happened at the same time. When things happen at the same time, I tend not to believe in coincidences. Here's what's happening with Eric Adams. At least I thought I had it. Do I have it? I had something. Hold tight. I think I got something on it. I got the article. Oh, okay. Here goes the. Here goes the picture. So this person here. I'll just talk us through this briefly. This young lady you see here worked for his campaign, and now they've taken they've confiscated Eric Adams' phones, looking for information. And the thing about it that made it so bad is they grabbed his phones while he was on the streets of New York. This took his phones. The FBI. So he's under FBI investigation. But I didn't know this wasn't out of the blue. There has been others already under investigation that are somehow tied to Eric Adams. So this is not as coincidental as I thought. In fact, maybe it's looking like maybe Eric Adams is trying to make it look coincidental. Maybe he's trying to make it look like it's politically motivated in order to help his case to, like, win it. I don't know. Now I'm starting to go, I don't know. New York City Mayor Adams is involved in an investigation concerning his role in a project related to the new Turkish consulate building. So that's what the investigation is about. It's about did Eric Adams take kickbacks in the form of campaign donations through his people. The lady that was on the screen helped run this fundraiser to get this Turkish consulate building stood up. Reports indicate that Eric Adams, while serving as Brooklyn's borough president after winning the Democratic mayoral primary in 21, urged the New York City Fire Commissioner, Daniel Nigro, to allow Turkish officials to use a building that had not been cleared for occupancy due to safety concerns. So this has actually been going on for years. See what I'm saying? He's getting jammed up for something he did back in 2021. I'm not saying that there isn't some bad blood between him and the FBI or the Biden administration and Eric Adams. I'm not saying that. It could be. All these things could be true at the same time. But he could also be a scumbag who has it coming. And that's notwithstanding his policies. It's notwithstanding his rhetoric. That's notwithstanding him being a garbage individual. Adams defended his actions, stating that his role as borough president involved addressing issues on behalf of constituents, and he has not been accused of any wrongdoing. He and his team, including his City Hall Chief Counsel, Lisa Zornberg, have expressed their cooperation with the investigation. Zornberg also called for action against any federal officer who might have inappropriately leaked details about the investigation, as it could bias public opinion and undermine law enforcement's due process. Yeah, man, you got my guy looking like he's guilty when, you know, you gotta see. So stop leaking stuff and let people know really what's going on, because they'd rather the innuendo be out there, the narrative be out there, that all this is happening because he said some stuff about migrants. And I was like looking at that too, like, wow, these things are happening to each other. But luckily, I'm curious. So I start looking further. The investigation is part of a broader inquiry. It's a campaign fundraiser during which the FBI seized multiple electronic devices from Adams. The mayor's team have acknowledged alerting authorities to someone who may have acted inappropriately in the context of the investigation. So they gave them someone. Adams' people gave the FBI somebody as an offering. Hey, you gotta have somebody. Take Carmine. Take Carmine. And I mean no disrespect. I just watched too many mob movies. Adams himself expressed surprise at the possibility of finding any coordinated illegal activities linked to his campaign. What you doing, surprise, Adams? People who got swagger don't get surprised. Swag. I got swagger. I got so tired of hearing about him. I can't stand him almost as much as I can't stand Cuomo. Text messages between Adams, Nigro, and Turkish Council, who won't even attempt to say his name, from September 2021 suggests Adams may have expedited this opening of the Turkish government's new building. They say, however, it may not show illegality. In those text messages, the guy from the Turkish consulate ask Adam for some help to expedite. Adams asked Nigro to look into it without giving specific instructions. In a separate related matter, Adams, known for his tough on crime stance and plans to increase police staffing and funding, has raised over $2 million for his 2025 re-election. There may have been charges against six individuals involved in a scheme to illegally funnel money to Adams through straw donors, with two of them pleading guilty. There was a scheme. Two people already pled guilty to helping funnel money into Adams' campaign funds to the tune of $2 million. Two people connected to his campaign pled guilty. Somebody is going down. That somebody is Mayor Eric Adams. And you know who won't feel sad about it? Me. Not sad at all. Happy to see him go. Do I think there could be some room for retaliation? Until I know about this investigation that was ongoing, yes. I'm not going to say it has no influence. I'll say this. I don't think he has any friends in the FBI at this point, which may have helped him. But he got a couple of people that work for him, so it is what it is. Fun times, right? What you guys think? You think Mayor Eric Adams will make it to a second term? Or you think it's going to say, I had quite enough? Thank you very much. It's sad when a guy like Eric Adams ends up getting elected to begin with. I always liked Maya, but it is what it is. What else, guys? Oh, put in the comment section, guys, if you feel like Eric Adams needs to go. And hey, look, guys, Eric Adams, Daniel Cameron. See, one thing they like to do is say that we only care about black folks. We only care about black politicians. We only care about... No, man. Nothing I hate more than a black sellout politician that's using their color to throw us under the bus to give a facade that they're actually working on our behalf when they're doing anything but. In fact, those people are more damaging to black folks in some cases than their white counterparts. Yeah, because they always say, well, I'm a black man. Of course I care. The Tim Scotts, the Daniel Camerons, and the Eric Adams can be much more detrimental to us because you can't call them racist. They'll just be like, oh, what are you talking about? I got swagger. We got Tim Scott up there with I'm about to cry face every 2 seconds. But we must do our best. Oh, we have to have just sobbing. Go sit down, Tim Scott, and accept that no one's going to vote for you. How the hell did he qualify for the last debate? That's it. I don't want to see no more, Tim Scott. That's it. Sell your damn book, Tim, and keep it pushing. Dr. Cornel West is on the campaign trail by way of talking his talk. Here goes Dr. Cornel West giving a speech. I think this was today.
Years have been terrorized, traumatized, and hated, and we dish out love warriors and freedom fighters every generation, which means that we stand in solidarity with anybody who's occupied, anybody who's subjugated, anybody who's exploited, and that's why we focus on Gaza at this moment, because a genocidal attack is taking place.
Yeah.
10,000 dead and 4,000 precious children. And don't let anybody tell you that because you love Palestinians and Palestinian babies that you hate somebody else. It just doesn't follow what our brothers and sisters. We don't hate Jewish brothers. We don't hate Jewish sisters. We don't hate Jewish siblings. We loathe, we hate a vicious Israeli occupation. We loathe and we hate a vicious siege against Gaza. And the least we can do at this moment of overwhelming barbarity is have a ceasefire. And yet you got these cowards in Washington, D.C. talking about a humanitarian pause. Please get off the crack pipe. Wake up. See the humanity of precious Palestinian brothers and sisters. and the American Empire has the nerve in this building to veto a humanitarian pause with our precious present Palestinian brothers and sisters being bombed, what kind of country are we? What kind of people are we? And we send a message to Palestinian brothers and sisters and siblings in Gaza, you are not forgotten. We see you. We focus on you. We give attention to you. And it doesn't mean that we're not concerned with our indigenous brothers and sisters here. It doesn't.
Man, I try to tell y'all. I try to tell him. I say, man, if you call Dr. West out, you're premature. I said you're way early to cut out Dr. West. You made a mistake. That brother meant those words. You may not agree. You may want him to come out and only talk about certain issues. But that brother meant those words. And what he believes in and what he means and the core of him is what matters. The authenticity matters. And that intensity matters. And when he goes out and he's talking about all issues, all matter of issues that he's talking about, when he speaks his power, that's that prophetic tradition, the black prophetic tradition, man, of speaking truth to power, challenging the status quo, challenging the powerful on behalf of those that are suffering. When he does that, you have the potential of a game changer. I try to tell people, man, he's always got to hit his chance. He's always got to punch his chance. Anytime you get somebody in a ring that can talk, speak, inspire, you got a shot. I wish people would be a little less impatient. Oh, this person did this, this person did that. That person ran in the Democratic primary. Dr. West is running, and the general. I supported various candidates last couple of elections. I supported Bernie. I was one of his most outspoken supporters, but I never got to vote for him because every time it got around to voting for him, he'd already be out of the race. So I'd do all this talking. At the end of the day, I end up voting to Dr. Jill Stein or Howie. It's kind of a blur. Did I vote for Howie or stay home? But I won't have that situation with Dr. West because he's not running as a Democrat. Get what I'm saying? So I just wish people would be a little bit more patient as things start to ramp up. But you know what? Instead of getting a migraine headache, instead of me trying to convince people of stuff that they're not interested in accepting, I'm cool with them not being on board. I'm like this. When Dr. West starts talking about your issues, you'll change your mind. That's the power of the pulpit. We're gonna get an opportunity. It's gonna come. I feel like it's gonna come for Dr. West. It's gonna be an opportunity where it's going to be on the front burner. It's going to be an issue concerning black folks. He's going to get the opportunity to speak to it in only a way that he can. And then all those naysayers, they'll find something else because I'm telling you, man, there are people that their platforms, viability, their money, how they get their paper, hinges on them being anti-politics. So whenever they talk about politics, it's negative. They have never, ever supported a single candidate as long as they've had a platform. They never supported a candidate. They never supported a legislation. And all of a sudden, now they're interested in reparations. But they never actually supported anything ever. Bring me somebody at some time that they supported. It could be crossing guard. It don't even gotta be, it don't have to be presidential. Bring me the crossing guard they supported. Bring me a local city councilman. You mean to tell me there's no city councilman anywhere that you support? There's nothing? So we gotta be a lot more cautious. We got to be more cautious in who we listen to. But telling people that we need to be more cautious, nobody wants to hear that. People don't want to be told what to do. So we're just going to let it show you. I'm going to let it do what it do. And when you're ready to come back and holler, when you want to find out what's going on with the campaign, when you become more interested, I'm just going to keep doing my thing. And you can join us later. Because we got 11 and a half months. I'm not going to rub it in your face later if you change your mind. I'm just going to be like, come on in here. Get yourself some soup. Let's eat. Get some of this stew and let's eat. Get some of this gumbo. Let's break bread. That's how I'm going to be, because it's not about told you so or whatever. I'm just going to be glad you're going to be on the team. But that's got to be in your own speed, under your own initiative, and obviously your own choice. But you can't tell no God-fearing person, a person that believes in what they believe, that they should not be supportive, man. The man just told you it's 10,000 people being murdered. 4,000 of those people were children being bombed by a military force that's even bombing hospitals. And yeah, I know we got issues in America, and we're going to deal with those, and we got to keep dealing with those. But it's not wrong to call for the ceasefire. It's not wrong to support ending that genocide. Get what I'm saying? That's not wrong. And I think it's the moral thing to do. So I support what he's doing. I support his support of the ceasefire. I hope he continues to do what he's doing. I know he's not going to forget us on the chocolate side of town. I know he's not going to forget our domestic issues that concern us. I know he's not going to forget that. I don't even question that. I'm just speaking to the perception people have that he's not going to address his issues. It is what it is. It's not even anything to argue about. There are people that are saying, I don't support Dr. West. And I'm like, I don't think you've ever supported anybody at any time. So, okay. Like, what? Dog. I can't focus. We're not going to focus on the people that are uninterested. We got to go get the people that are interested. We want to give everybody the information. But we can't win people over. We can't make people... You can't change people's minds for them, nor get upset about people's opinions. What's going on in Gaza is a human rights violation. It's against international law. So it's, it is what it is. Keep talking, Dr. West. Keep going after them. Stay on their necks. It's important. I firmly believe, guys, time's going to come and people are going to feel a lot different as we get closer on this thing. As things progress, people are going to see them talk about other issues. We're going to have other moments, because that's the way life is, man. And, a lot of people are going to come around as we go throughout the process. people are going to join in as we go through the process. But till then, man, everybody's got a freedom of speech. People feel the way they feel. Take this clip, for instance. Take this clip, for instance. This is a very short clip, but it's funny. This is Bill Burr's wife. This is Bill Burr's wife giving Donald Trump the finger at a UFC event. That's hilarious. And you know, that was trending. That's what made me see it. It was trending on Twitter X. I'm like, man, that's cold, man. But I also think it's funny. She don't have to like Trump. What are y'all so upset about? I feel sorry for Bill Burr. His wife don't like Trump. What? That means she feels sorry for him? Bill Burr is a very successful comedian. A multimillionaire with two kids and a wife and very happy. If you feel sorry for him because he does, because his wife doesn't like Trump. Now, you need to feel sorry for you being broke with your broke ass. And this capitalistic monstrosity, this toxic free-for-all nonsense BS zombie land we live in. You need to be concerned about yourself. Shit, you up here loving Trump and struggling like hell. Feel sorry for Bill Burr. I feel sorry for Bill Burr. He's got to put up with that. Yeah, somebody not loving Trump. I got to put up with that. Hey, man, free speech, right? Free speech, right? Oh, until it's not the type of speech you want it to be. Man, the Republicans are horrible on Israel. Jesus Christ, man. They are horrible on Israel. Just, I didn't watch much of the debates, but just seeing how they were all like, we have to give all our money to Israel. We have to prioritize Israel. DeSantis is up there with his snaky, slithering, underhandedness, like slimy. Man, I'm DeSantis. He's just uncomfortable, cowboy boots and them. I just can't stand DeSantis. He's a horrible dude, man. Just doesn't know what face to make. Did they all kiss the ass of Netanyahu ass kissers? They sent $14 billion to Israel. Now, remember, we always send $4 billion every year anyway. It's an additional $14 billion to a country that's got free healthcare and free school. We can't get it for ourselves here, but we can send them $14 billion. The more you know. That's how America is. That's how dumb Republicans are. And that's how hypocritical Democrats are. It is what it is. Folks, my name is Tim Black. I'm at Real Tim Black on all these platforms, the Tim Black Show. Become a member of the Tim Black crew. I have yet another show coming. It's in the works. I'm excited about it, man. Oh, folks, I'm so excited about my new show. Oh, I'm excited about my new show. Oh, my new show gonna be the ish. I'm excited about it, man. I invite you all to become members of the Tim Black Wolfpack. Go to jointimblack.com. Sign up, become a member. We're gonna do this process together. We're going to rise up together. We're going to fight the good fight together. We're going to fight not because we know we're going to win. We're going to fight because we know what's necessary. You understand what I'm saying? That's what we've been doing. That's our legacy. Let's continue that legacy. I'm going to do my part. I hope you do your part. Remember, like I always say, don't you let nobody take your cornbread. And they say, why do you care about this stuff? Why are you watching this Tim Black talking this politics, supporting this Dr. Cornel West? You tell him. It's a new day. Remember, we still got our merch. Liquid Death is the, I'm an affiliate of Liquid Death. Want to support the channel? Want to get something for supporting the channel that you can drink? Go down below in the description box below and find my link to Liquid Death. It's the best stuff. I love it. No calories. And it's just good. It won't kill you, but it will kill your thirst. I'm Tim Black. I see you on the next one, fam. Wolfpack.
You're watching the Black Digital Television Network. Become a subscriber for the best in black thought on the internet. We keep it 100 just for you. And remember, it's a new day. Accept no imitations.